get to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran, and I am Asma, your host for the next hour. Hope you will accompany us into these early hours of this morning. We start this hour's lineup with Q&A on Islamic beliefs. The program provides answers to listeners' questions about Islamic beliefs. The ocean of Da'a will follow, which gives an explanation of supplications taken from various books such as Mafasih al-Jinan and Kamil al-Ziyarat. Our varied radio productions feature will follow at 1:30 a.m. And our final program this hour is Spring of Truth. The program provides English translations of a selection of statements and speeches by the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering a doubts and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of the program, and today's guest is no one but Shaykh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Shaykh Karimi, today's question is about Darwin's theory of evolution. Considering Darwin's theory of evolution and the creation of human being, what does Islam say about this, and were there other humans before Prophet Adam alayhi salam or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When it comes to the belief of Darwin and Darwinism, still some people call it a kind of hypothesis, which means that it still is not a theory.
All right.
It is just a kind of hypothesis. But anyway, even if we call it theory, there are two theories about the creation of living beings. One of them is the theory or hypothesis of species evolution or transformism,
mm-hmm.
which means that the living species were not in their current form at the beginning. Rather, they originated as a single celled organisms in the ocean waters.
All right.
And then, I mean, through a gradual process of evolution, they became like what they are looking like today. So this is called transformism. The other theory is the theory of fixity of a species, or fixism, which state that each species of living being appeared separately in its current form all at right. the beginning. Mm-hmm. So there is no evolution. So my point is that even when it comes to empirical sciences, we have these two theories still. Also, although the majority of the scholars in empirical sciences, they go for evolution theory, but the second theory has also some supporters. Mm-hmm. So this is a very important point, because sometimes people assume that Darwinism and the theory of evolution is the 100% proved theory, and there is no one against that. No, there are two theories. Many scholars go for the theory of evolution, but still some scholars go for the, fixist theory.
Or for instance, when you are talking about different types of creatures, I mean, regarding human beings, they categorize it into different ones. Neanderthals, one of them, yeah. for example, or Homo erectus, Homo yeah. sapiens. And then we can say we are talking about, yes, human beings or hominids, we call it, okay?
So now the question is that, let's assume that the theory of evolution is the true theory, which is, as I mentioned, is not proved yet. Is it against belief in God and in creation of Adam and Eve? We know that when this theory appeared, there was a kind of fight and a struggle between the church and those people who believed in the theory of evolution. Mm-hmm. And the church was against the theory of evolution because the church thought that it is against the teachings of the Bible. Now, when it comes to the religion of Islam and the viewpoint of Islam regarding the theory of evolution, interestingly, among Muslim scholars, we have some scholars who have tried to conclude from the verses of the Quran that the theory of evolution is the true theory.
Mm-hmm.
And some other scholars, they have concluded from the verses of the Quran that no, the theory of evolution is not true.
All right.
So my first point answering this question is that some Muslim scholars believe that even the Quran confirms evolution theory.
All right.
Of course, I'm not going to judge about their arguments. Just to tell the dear listeners that there are some Muslim mm-hmm. scholars who accept the evolution of the theory of evolution, and they try to find some verses and some narrations supporting this theory. For example, right. one of the ayat that they refer to is chapter Ali Imran, verse 33, where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. Allah has chosen Adam and Nuh and the progeny of Abraham and the progeny of Imran above all the nations.
All right.
So they argue that Allah chose Nuh among his nations as the best person and Ibrahim among his nation. So who were the nation of Adam? Because here Allah says that Allah chose Adam among the nations.
Mm-hmm.
So this verse is referring to the fact that at the time of Adam alayhi salam, there were also alameen, nations.
All right.
Which is referring to many other human beings. Mm-hmm. And from among them, Adam is chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in consistency with the theory of evolution, that there have been other human beings before Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And from among them, Adam alayhi salam is chosen based on this verse. Of course, this is not a very strong argument, because this verse is referring to the fact that these prophets are chosen among, the nations. It's not right. necessarily referring to the nation of their own time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is referring to the nations which are going to come after them. Like, for example, we have the narration that Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha is Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen. So it's not only referring to the nation at her time, it is referring to the nations even coming after her. Anyway, but the supporters of the fixism, the fact that the evolution theory is not true, they have also referred to some verses of the Quran talking about the creation of the Bashar, of this species of human beings, from a clay. It's been mentioned in many verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created Adam, which is Bashar, this species, from the clay. For example, in chapter Hajj, verses 26, 28, and some other verses, it is mentioned that Adam was created from the clay. So, my first point is that not only Islam, my first point is that there are some Muslim scholars who try to prove the theory of evolution even based on the verses of the Quran and the narrations.
So, is it possible that Adam, I mean, talking about the insan, has been created as the ideal type of human beings? I mean, in the line of creation of humans, for example, before Adam, we know that Adam could be different from human, okay? So Adam is a specific species of the human beings. So human beings before Adam existed, as Darwin says, okay, in Darwinism theory and evolution. But for the creation of Adam as the Khalifatullah or the vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now there are some specifications. For example, spirituality or blowing of the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into Adam. So in this way, I think that the Muslim scholars can justify it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. That's a very good point, very strong point. So those scholars, I mean, the other point here is that even if we believe in the theory of evolution, imagine that, I mean, us as human beings, we began from a single-celled organism, and then through evolution, it came to some animals, then the apes, the monkeys, and finally some form of human beings. This is mentioned by Darwin, right?
Yes.
So it's not against the fact that some thousand years ago, for example, 10,000 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, as the most perfect creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all the features that you rightly mentioned. So these two are not contradicting each other if we accept Darwinism. So the evolution was there, but 10,000 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a new creature, most perfect creature, which is called Adam, and we are from his generation.
And it's possible that from the middle of the way of the creation, there must be some differences, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this power of making changes in his own creation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, because the homos and the hominis and the other tendals, you know, were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway.
Sure.
But there could be some specific, special changes to this creation, as there were to so many others. For instance, you could see that the animals that we see nowadays in the sea, as the whales and the sharks, okay, used to live on Earth, and they were not sea animals at all, okay? So there were some specific changes. So specific changes in human beings as a spiritual being, like we see today, could be possible too, isn't it?
Sure, sure. And interesting, we have also some narration referring to the fact that before Adam alayhi salam, there have been many other human beings living on this planet Earth.
But and science proves this too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were not as perfect as this Adam. Generation of human beings. Right. But even the narrations confirmed that there were other generations of human beings before Adam alayhi salam. There is an interesting narration by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, لقد خلق الله عز وجل في الأرض منذ خلقها سبعة عالمين ليس هم من ولد آدم. Before Adam عليه السلام, Allah created seven other generations of human beings. They were not the offspring of Adam عليه السلام. خلقهم من أديم الأرض. Interestingly, this narration says that they were also created from the clay, from the earth.
All right.
فأسكنهم فيها واحدا بعد واحدا مع عالمه. They also resided on I mean the world, in this world. Then ثم خلق الله عز وجل آدم أبا البشر. Then Allah سبحانه وتعالى created آدم عليه السلام. And then Imam continues, والله ما خلقت ما خلت الجنة من أرواح المؤمنين منذ خلقها. I swear by Allah سبحانه وتعالى that from the time that paradise was created, it was not empty from the believers.
Yes.
Referring to the fact that even before Adam, they were some human beings. Apparently, they had some kind of free will. And some of them are now in the paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And also the hellfire before Adam alayhi salam was, there were some people in
That's
the
right.
hell even before the creation of Adam alayhi salam.
All right.
And this is, as you rightly mentioned, confirmed by the science.
Yes.
Some fossils which are mm-hmm. discovered.
Yes.
They refer to the fact that, I mean, for millions of years, they were people looking like human beings. And, but they were existed millions of years mm-hmm. before Adam alayhi salam. But the point is that, according to some scholars, there is no genetic connection between those people, like Neanderthals,
yes.
and us people living in this time and era. So if there is no genetic connection between us and Neanderthals, it is another sign that we are not from the same generation. Our generation is coming from Adam alayhi salam, and their generation was different. So this is supported by both the narrations and the science.
Okay.
So this is the second point. The third point is the fact that, again, I would like to refer to the fact that when we talk about the theory of evolution, it is only a theory.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hypothesis. It's not like mathematics. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. Is it the same as Darwin theory? Not at all. When it comes to empirical sciences, we know that we have two types of empirical sciences. Some of them are natural empirical sciences, like physics, chemistry, and biology, for example. And some of them are human empirical
okay.
sciences, such as economics and psychology, for example.
All right.
Mathematics is different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mathematics is proved by arguments. And it is for sure. No one can negate that 2 + 2 = 4. But when it comes to other, when it comes to empirical sciences, we always talk about theories.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, examples for that in the history of empirical sciences. So, for example, when it comes to astronomy, we know that for centuries, the system that Ptolemy introduced was the prevailing system. Then we had Copernicus and Galileo and other scholars who mentioned another theory. So you see, for even centuries, the viewpoint of Galileo was the center. And from the time of Einstein, we are talking about, the theory of relativity and the expansion
yes.
of the universe. My point is that when it comes to empirical sciences, even they themselves, they say that there is no final viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory of evolution is now prevailing, but does it mean that this is the end?
That's right.
There wouldn't be another theory?
Okay.
No,
That's
there
right.
must be. There might be other theories as well. And
That's
just
right.
one last point. When it comes to theory of evolution, there are many contradictions
yes.
to this theory. For example, there are some creatures, according to the theory of evolution, the species, all the species should have been evolved during
mm-hmm.
the history. But the science proves that there are some creatures that exist today, and they existed the same way millions of years before.
Before.
Like, for example...
So there was no evolution.
There was no evolution.
That's right.
And like, for example, the horseshoe crab or
yes.
A sturgeon, for example, and some other creatures, mainly marine creatures, which are the same. So this means that evolution is not the only way to explain the creation of all the creatures.
That's right. Thank you. So the other hominids are thus seen as the now extinct creatures. We can say that God that were part of the God's creation, but they were not. But we can say maybe they were not the spiritual humans as the Adam was.
Yeah.
We can say with the responsibility of the covenant with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Thank you much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding Islam's views regarding Darwin or the theory of evolution of Darwin. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the Hall of Shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history. Should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. America gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice. Our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. The thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late.
Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late.
Ocean of Dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the Ocean of Dua. And in this version of the program, we are trying to cover some of the names of the Almighty Allah that are recommended to be recited to invoke Him for obtaining benefits. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'an alahum ajma'in.
Dear listeners, Al-Khafid is another name of the Almighty Allah, which means the humiliator. This has been the sunnah and tradition of the Almighty Allah. He brings down some people who have been in state of power, literally illegitimate power, and the tyrannical rulers and others, he brings them down, and they will be humiliated. And some others, who are called the mustadhaf, the people whose rights had been taken from them, will be the top notch again. So Al-Khafid, the humiliator, can be recited for many times in a day to get satisfaction of any legitimate desire.
Walhamdulillahi ala afwihi ba'da qudrati walhamdulillahi ala tuli anatihi fi ghadabi wa huwa qadirun ala ma yuri alhamdulillahi khaliqil khalq باسط الرزق فالق الأصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
Another name of the Almighty Allah that can be recited in the beginning of our du'as while we're invoking Him is the name Al-Latif, the Benign. The Almighty Allah is kind towards His servants, and it is recommended to recite this name regularly, Al-Latif. Of course, all the things we are mentioning in this program, dear listeners, have some different conditions to be met if we want to achieve the results. But whatever happens, reciting these names of the Almighty Allah will bring more the attraction of the Almighty Allah, and we can gain more benefits, especially while we are invoking Him and reciting dua. Another name is Al-Malik, the Sovereign. This name and reciting it is really useful to retain wealth and power and to hold sway over the subordinates. And since by believing in this name, we consciously know that we can't refer to anyone else for help, this name can be recited to have freedom from wants, so as not to be forced to go to others for help. Dear listeners, Al-Mu'min is another name of the Almighty Allah to be recited if we want to gain more benefits while we're invoking Him. But the word Mu'min doesn't mean believer. This means the reliable protector, the one who keeps us safe. And yet he's not kept safe by anyone else. He is safe within. So that's why he's called Al-Mu'min, which means the reliable protector. Among the other names of the Almighty Allah, which is closely related to this one, Al-Mu'min, is the name Al-Muhaymin, the defender.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
But the point is that reciting this name will not help remove the difficulties, but to overcome the difficulties in daily life. Since not all the difficulties in our lives are just punishments of the Almighty Allah. Maybe some of them are just for mere upgrades. And the one who is suffering from these difficulties and calamities hasn't done anything wrong in his life. And the difficulties are most of the time the start of the favors of the Almighty Allah, as they were just so in the case of the great prophets of the Almighty Allah. And the last name that will be discussed in this program is the name Al-Khaliq, the Creator, which is closely related to the Originator, which is another name of the Almighty. So the Almighty Allah is the one who has created all things. He is the absolute cause. And since He is the one who has created them all, He is the all-knowing and all-aware. Of course, all the things we are mentioning in this program, dear listeners, have some different conditions to be met if we want to achieve the results. But whatever happens, reciting these names of the Almighty Allah will bring more the attraction of the Almighty Allah. And we can gain more benefits, especially while we are invoking Him and reciting dua. And it is also said that this name, Al-Khaliq, purifies the heart and the mind of the reciter. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
IRIB English Radio.
Palestine Declassified.
Hello, I'm Chris Williamson. This is Palestine Declassified. We're the only show that's dedicated to investigating and exposing the Israeli regime's global war against solidarity with the illegally occupied people of Palestine. In today's show, we'll be investigating who's behind the Together for Palestine concert that's being staged at the Wembley Arena on the 17th of September. In our first report, Tifaro Chakra takes a look at who's involved beyond the artists who will be performing there and has some surprising revelations about a number of the behind-the-scenes individuals and organisations.
A huge concert is planned at Wembley Arena in London under the title Together for Palestine. A long list of acts are performing, including Brian Eno, Damon Albarn, Hot Chip, James Blake, Jamie XX, Paloma Faith, and Nai Barghouti. The Together for Palestine event website says, every penny donated will go to supporting Palestinian-led humanitarian organizations, saving lives under fire. All funds will go through Choose Love, a UK-registered charity who supports local partners in conflict zones. So who gets the funds? It doesn't say. If we look on the Choose Love website, we find that the charity has partners in both what it calls Israel and what it calls the occupied Palestinian territories. Its Israel partner is the New Israel Fund, a Zionist funding mechanism which claims to be interested in human rights, but will not support even mild actions like BDS. Amongst its Palestinian partners are the International Rescue Committee, an organization headed by former British Foreign Secretary David Miliband, and set up originally by the CIA. Choose Love is based in the UK and the US, and amongst its many funders in 2023 were Combined Jewish Philanthropies, Goldman Sachs Gives, Jewish Communal Fund, Kahane Foundation, Open Society Foundations, and Shapiro Foundation, all of which are Zionist, and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, widely known as a CIA pass-through. Choose Love says that it is administered by an innocent-sounding group called PRISM, the Gift Fund. But further investigation reveals an altogether different picture. PRISM, the gift fund, was set up by Anne Joss. Joss is described by the Jewish Chronicle as an Orthodox Jew who co-runs private equity firm Regent Capital with PRISM co-founder Gideon Lyons. She ran the Zionist funding agency, the New Israel Fund UK, in the 1990s, and when younger, she traveled to occupied Palestine and spent time at a religious seminary, as well as having been chair of the Manchester University Jewish Society, which is the Manchester branch of the Zionist Union of Jewish Students. The charity operates as a donor-advised fund, a mechanism to obscure public knowledge of where funding for recipients originates. The charity, unsurprisingly, is deeply embedded in the Zionist movement. It runs the activities of the Jerusalem Foundation, which is engaged in ethnic cleansing in East Jerusalem, as well as at least two other Zionist family foundations: the Bluston Charitable Settlement, of which Anne Joss is a trustee, and the Pels Trust, which also give to the IOF and other genocidal charities. Have Brian Eno and the other artists involved been hoodwinked?
As usual, I'm joined in the studio by David Miller, who's the UK's foremost scholarly critic of Israel and our resident expert. He's a co-director of the lobbying watchdog Spinwatch and a senior research fellow at the Centre for Islam and Global Affairs at Istanbul Zeyim University. And I'm delighted that Vanessa Bealey is joining us once again as our guest contributor today. She's a highly respected and courageous award-winning British investigative journalist, and you can catch much of her output on UK Column and bealey.substack.com. Welcome to the show. David, I wonder whether you're disappointed in any way by the revelations about who's behind this Together for Palestine concert.
Well, I'm perennially disappointed with the Palestine Solidarity Movement, I have to tell you. But yes, this is a pretty extraordinary set of events, a range of acts playing who are known for their solidarity with the Palestinian people. And this looks like a big, you know, event which could raise significant sums to relieve the suffering of Palestinian people through Palestinian-led organizations in the West Bank and indeed in Gaza. But it turns out that the organization that is involved has significant contacts and relationships with Zionist organizations, not least of which, of course, is giving money to the New Israel Fund, which, as we know, is engaged in funding genocidal Zionist organizations and refuses to fund even limited reform campaigns like BDS. And also that it has significant funds coming from Zionist organizations, including some of the big Zionist philanthropy foundations in the US and in other places. So it's very disappointing to see that. And it really makes you wonder whether there is any part of the Palestinian Solidarity Movement as it's currently constituted, which has the liberation of Palestine and the ending of Zionism in sight.
Right, okay. Well, Vanessa, I mean, what do you make of Choose Love's apparent links to the Zionist entity?
Certainly, they're very clear that there are links back to agencies that are supporting the Zionist genocide in Palestine. This shouldn't be surprising because, in reality, the Zionist entity and the Zionist movement have been infiltrating British society and British soft power NGO complex for years in order to effectively bring about the destabilization of the region and the final solution, as they describe it, in Palestine, which is the ongoing genocide that we've seen, of course, since 1936 onwards, but in intensification since the 7th of October.
Well, David, what about the Choose Love's funding sources that were mentioned in the report there?
So if you look back at their history back to 2015, 16, 17 and onwards, you see that they get a whole range of different organizations giving them funds, including a lot of Zionist foundations, some of the big foundations in North America, the big Zionist foundations called the Jewish Philanthropies and others, and including also some British Zionist foundations who have been giving them money. And also in there is the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, which, of course, is a well-known, it says in the film there, a CIA pass-through. Now, what that means, of course, is that in the previous decades, that what would happen is that the Rockefeller Brothers and the Ford Foundation and other big foundations would take money from the CIA and would pass it on to other organizations. So it would disguise the role of the CIA in pushing money out to what were effectively CIA assets. Now, that appears to be what's happening with Choose Love, and there are a whole range of other organizations which are funding it, which indicates that there are questions to be asked about its activities. It's not just about helping refugees or relieving suffering in earthquake regions or after disasters. It's also about, it looks like, pursuing the interests of powerful actors, including in the national security state in the US and perhaps even elsewhere.
Mm. Yes, it is. Well, Vanessa, I mean, do you think Choose Love should be transparent then on who will receives the funds that's being raised or will be raised by the Together for Palestine concert?
Yeah, of course it should. And actually the organisers of the concert and any affiliates of Choose Love should be demanding transparency. When one looks at the sponsors of Choose Love, it is heavily infested by Zionist or supporting organisations and those that advocate for Israeli supremacy in the region. And therefore, all transparency should be demanded from Choose Love as to exactly where those funds are going. When they're focusing on what they term a refugee crisis, but not focusing on the cause of that refugee crisis, questions need to be raised.
Well, David, I mean, do you know what's going on with PRISM, the gift fund, which I understand is actually no longer involved with Choose Love? I mean, does that separation indicate that Zionist influences have been removed?
No, as I've been saying, there's tons of Zionist money going into Choose Love itself. But this relationship with PRISM, the gift fund, was really very interesting. It appears to have stopped from the 1st of May 2024 when the charity Choose Love has declared itself independent. Now, what would happen before is that the PRISM, the gift fund, would tax the income, and so it wouldn't all go on to the donors. The donees, sorry. But PRISM, the gift fund, is a really very interesting organization set up by this Zionist hedge fund manager, Anjos, who also is a trustee of some charities which give to genocidal Zionist organizations, both the occupation forces and indeed illegal settlements. And PRISM, the gift fund itself, actually runs the operations of some of these charities, including the Peltz Trust, which is one of them, and the Bluestone Charitable Trust as well, but most notably, and there's tons of others, actually, if you look at our website, powerbase.info, you can see the entry for the PRISM gift funds gives a whole range of charities they fund, but the most important one to mention, just so people understand, is that it runs the funding operation of the Jerusalem Foundation, which we've, of course, talked about in this show before. Yeah. It has a UK branch, it has branches in other countries, and it directly sends money to colonise East Jerusalem, and to make sure that the Palestinians are pushed out and ethnically cleansed East Jerusalem. And this should be an organization which should not be allowed to function, far less it's actually run by this other charity, which allows people to pass money through so you don't see where the money's coming from.
Sure. Right. Okay. Well, Vanessa, I mean, what's your thoughts then on Choose Love? I mean, they seem to give to Zionist recipients like the New Israel Fund and also to the so-called liberation of Syria.
Look, any organization that supports the so-called liberation of Syria should be considered questionable. When we look at what has happened in Syria since December 2024, we've seen the destruction of Syria's sovereignty, its ability to defend itself against the Zionist entity, with collaboration from the new Al-Qaeda government headed up by Jolani, an asset of Israel and the West and of all the hostile states that have brought about the downfall of Syria. What we've seen is the expansion of Israel, of course, into Syrian territory, the bombing on a regular basis, even recently, of Syrian installations and infrastructure. So any organization that is supporting the so-called liberation of Syria is effectively enabling Zionist expansionism and takfiri massacres and genocidal intent in the region also.
Well, our next report delves into the activities of two of the directors of Together for Palestine.
In the small print of its website, Together for Palestine discloses that the event is independently organized by T4P Events in aid of Choose Love's vital fundraising. What is T4P Events? It's a company registered at Companies House on the 29th of May this year. It has two directors, Anna Catherine Nolan and James Sadri. Let's have a look at their background. James Sadri says he's a migrant and has three links on his Instagram page to campaigns he has worked in, as well as T4P Events. There is Led by Donkeys and the Syria Campaign. The Syria Campaign is a public relations outfit created to give PR cover to the British intelligence operation known as the White Helmets, which involved itself in war crimes in pursuit of regime change in Syria. Perhaps the most famous Syria Campaign output was Killing the Truth, a dossier full of lies intended to suggest that skepticism about fake chemical weapons attacks in Syria were Russian disinformation. Anna Nolan was also involved in founding the Syria Campaign. In fact, Nolan claims to have been on the advisory board of the White Helmets since 2019 and is still on it. In 2017, she personally went to collect the Good Housekeeping Women of the Year Award given to Syrian heroes described as the Women of the Year White Helmets. Obviously, the publicity did not mention the most senior woman in the White Helmets, Emma Winberg, who ran the operation and is a serving MI6 officer, as was revealed after her husband, James Lemessurier, was found dead outside their flat in Istanbul while she reportedly slept. The Syria Campaign also received support from the U.S. intelligence community, funneled through the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and the National Endowment for Democracy and other sources. This is indicated by Nolan's history with regime change propaganda, which goes back before her involvement with the Syria Campaign. In fact, she spun the Syria Campaign out of a PR firm called Purpose in 2014. At the time, connections between Purpose and the Syria Campaign were denied as a crank conspiracy, but now Nolan publicly admits that she worked on the Syria Campaign while still at Purpose. In their 2024 impact report, Choose Love admits that it gave the White Helmets over $500,000 to put on their fake show of digging for secret prisoners in Sitnaya prison after the fall of the Assad government. Even the White Helmets had to admit that their operation failed to find any secret areas or prisoners. $500,000 wasted. Why is Choose Love using a firm with British and U.S. intelligence connections to run a pro-Palestine music event?
Well, David, I mean, what would you say to those who claim that the views and actions of these people on Syria, I mean, isn't really relevant to Palestine?
Well, first of all, of course, the question of Syria is tremendously relevant to Palestine. The collapse of the Assad government was a key element of the axis of resistance, which is the only thing which can seriously, materially challenge the Zionist entity. But second of all, this is an operation which was run and directed by MI6, which is an intelligence operation, which makes these people, both of the directors of this firm who are put on this event, actual MI6 assets, right, if not themselves agents. And of course, they've also had involvement with American intelligence, the National Endowment for Democracy, as well as the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. And the NED is known as a face for the CIA after the CIA was previously exposed for passing money through organizations like the Rockefeller Brothers Fund in the 60s.
Sure.
So this is deeply, deeply concerning. And it's clearly of relevance because you have to ask, why are MI6 or MI6 assets involved in putting on an event which is supposedly for Palestine?
It doesn't
make any sense at all.
No, indeed. Is it part of some sort of sophisticated ruse, isn't it, then?
Well, we would need to look deeper. I mean, the company which is doing the PR for this has now admitted what Palestinian organizations are going to receive the funding, which they hadn't publicly done before. So we will need to look into that further.
Yes, no, absolutely. Well, Vanessa, I mean, Anna Catherine Nolan and James Sadri, I mean, have relentlessly labeled you as a Putin apologist and sought to smear you, haven't they? I mean, what would you say now, given all that's happened in Syria?
I would say that Anna Nolan and James Sadri, who were part of the Syria campaign that was established by Ayman Asfari, who is not only being investigated or was investigated by the Syria's fraud squad, but was also funding the former Conservative government in the UK during the regime change war against Syria. These two individuals that effectively ran the Syria campaign, now the Voices Project, that supported the regime change war against Syria in particular, of course, sponsoring and providing promotion for the White Helmet organization that was affiliated to Al-Qaeda in Syria. These two individuals now have the blood of Syrians on their hands that are being massacred by the Jolani regime that came to power as a result of their campaigning for the fall of the previous Syrian government.
Well, David, I mean, you know, you've written quite extensively, I think, about the white helmets that were mentioned in the video there. I mean, did you always share Vanessa's view about the white helmets?
No, I mean, people think that I'm quite hardline on things sometimes, and I have to say that I was naive on this question. I was naive on the whole question of the Syrian revolution, so-called revolution, and I was naive on the question of the white helmets. When I first heard what people said about Vanessa and Eva and others who had exposed the white helmets, I was skeptical of Vanessa and indeed of Eva Bartlett. And it was only when I started to do research myself that I realized that everything they had been saying was true. And the way that I realized the thing which brought me to the understanding that the White Helmets were actually a PR construct was looking at the contract which had been drawn up by the Foreign Office to give £60 million that they've now given to the White Helmets over this period from 2014 onwards. And the contract said that they were that part of the purpose of the White Helmets was to improve the international image of the UK government. Now, I'm sufficiently au fait with the way in which British government propaganda operates to see that as a perfectly clear admission that this was a PR campaign. And what we subsequently realised was it's not just a PR campaign, it was a mechanism for putting on fake chemical weapons attacks so they could provoke a reaction by military forces in the US and the UK to bomb Syria.
Sure, indeed. And when you say naive about the Syrian revolution, you're not talking about recent events, of course. You're talking about
Way back in 2011, 12, 13,
just to be clear what you were saying there. But Vanessa, I mean, that's a pretty ringing endorsement, isn't it, from David about your reporting. And I mean, what was it that made you suspicious of the white helmets in the first place?
I think just looking at the financial backing of what was effectively a shadow state organization or construct that was not established inside Syria. It was effectively established inside Turkey and Jordan. It was trained by British military intelligence. It was backed by MI6, the CIA, through various agencies and organizations. And it was embedded with the Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups inside Syria that, of course, were also being sponsored by the West and the Zionist bloc to destabilize Syria and bring down the former Syrian government. And, you know, I think when we look at what the White Helmets were involved in Syria, they've been accused by Syrian civilians of crimes such as murder, theft, child abduction, even organ trafficking, and yet this organization funded by the West has never been subject of any kind of inquiry or independent investigation. And my question still remains, why not?
Well, David, I mean, are you concerned that Choose Love, which has given £500,000 to construct lies about the Sednaya prison, might have nefarious intentions in relation to this event then? I mean, it's pretty clear from what you're saying it is, but just expand a little bit.
Well, of course. I mean, let's remember this Sednaya prison thing at which the White Helmets got the $500,000 for. Remember, the government of Assad had fallen and the prisoners were released from Sednaya prison. And there was this big operation. They said there would be 30,000 bodies or secret prisoners, secret sections of the prison. And it turned out that there was one person who was this secret prisoner, and they brought this secret prisoner out, and he was interviewed by CNN, and they then discovered he wasn't actually a prisoner in the prison at all. The whole thing was a fraud, and they found not one single secret prisoner, not one single secret area of the prison, and they spent all that money just for propaganda to emphasize that this was actually a so-called liberation, as Choose Love call it, of Damascus, as opposed to a Western regime change.
Yes, it did. And the corporate media, curiously silent about the reality of what was found there. But Vanessa, I mean, just finally, do you have a message for the organisers of the Together for Palestine concert?